You have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to continue looking this week at verses 14 and 15. And we perhaps may look at verses 14 and 15 again next week. And if the Lord so deem, even the week after. I had a thought about preaching from this text, and I mentioned to a couple of you Wednesday night, and I was meditating on that, and I had something else I wanted to also bring from this text, and I thought, well, that will only take a short period of time, so maybe I can work both in together. So I started out and working on what just was going to take that short period of time, and normally I use 2 pages of notes, and I have 5 pages this morning, just on that short period. So we will follow the Lord's plan, I pray. I don't want you here just for what I have to say or what I want to show you, but I pray that it is the Lord who leads and guides as we look at His Word. And we want to understand His Word, and we want to apply His Word. Now, sometimes as we come together with the preaching and teaching of the Word, I may make some assumptions that you know and understand something, and I'm going to ask you, if you do not know or you do not understand, you do not comprehend, please see me afterwards. I don't want anybody to miss anything. You know, sometimes we miss something in directions and we go back over them and say, you know, I missed something there, can you give that back to me? And you know, it's important to arrive at the destination we want to go to. But this is above all. We are talking about all of eternity and your soul hanging in the balance, hanging before the God of all creation. Will you be a child of God in the love of God, in the grace and mercy of God, or an enemy of God suffering for all of eternity? So I don't want anybody to miss anything. Sometimes maybe you're not on an elevated level and you think, well, boy, he's really trying to dumb that down or something. I want everybody to know and everybody to understand. We want everybody to feed and grow. I don't want anybody to come feel like they got to twiddle their thumbs because they're not hearing anything. As a matter of fact, there's something you can do. If you come and you're hearing and you're not getting anything from it, here's what you need to do. You need to bring that point up with God. You need to be praying about it. Because there's a tendency when we're not getting anything from it, it's because we weren't ready when we got here. We haven't emptied ourselves of the world. We are not ready to meet with God. We're not ready to hear the Word of God. And I believe that no matter how simple the preaching is, I love that song, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." The child of God never grows weary of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you do, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I want to hear the old, old story over and over and over again. It's nice to hear something new and learn something new, but oh, there's a joy in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Rabbit 2, and it's in the hole. 1 John chapter 5, will you stand together with me as we begin reading with verse 13? "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." May the Lord add His blessing to His word. Let us bow together in prayer. Our dear God and Father, as we stop together today to study Your word, to meditate upon Your truths, we pray, O God, that You might speak through Your servant. Lord, that You might anoint the words that are brought forth, and O God, that You might anoint every ear in this place, that Your word might be received. Oh God, we call upon You for Your promise. We rejoice in Your promise that where 2 or 3 are gathered, You will be there. And we know that, oh God, You are here. We thank You and praise You for being in our presence. And then, oh God, we call upon Your promise that Your word will not come back to You void. So, oh God, send forth your word that it may accomplish your purpose. And oh God, help us to praise you as you do accomplish your purpose. Oh God, if it be your will, would you send your gospel to those that have never heard this day? Oh God, they know not, and they will not know, and they cannot know unless you, by your mercy, by your grace, move upon them and stir them, quicken them, giving them new hearts, making them alive that they may hear. So, oh God, we ask that you would do that. Quicken any lost soul in this place today, that they may see, that they may know, that they may fall in repentance. Oh God, that they might glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then, oh God, cause your children to hear your word, that they might be strengthened, that they may be challenged to serve you and to walk more circumspectly, that they may grow in sanctification, that they may grow in wisdom, that they may grow in faith, that the witness might grow and to also bring glory to our Father and to His Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, be in every aspect of this service this day. Our desire is to do it all for you. Lord, protect us from error and sin. Protect us from Satan. Help us to glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The power of prayer. Is there any power in prayer? I see some nods one way and I see some nods the other way. And I think we have to clarify it. And that's my point. I had a friend whose wife was deathly sick with cancer. And he is active on the internet and he had put the word out. And so many friends responded in emails about prayers. And he told me of one particular one. He said, this Jewish friend of mine wrote a beautiful prayer and sent that to me. And it's just so beautiful and it's so powerful. Well, if you write down a prayer and put it on a piece of paper, can it do anything? Nope. If you put it into a soft, alluring voice, does it do anything? I couldn't do soft and alluring. I can do this one. If you put it in a loud, strong voice, is there any power in it? No. The power of prayer, John tells us right here in his 14th verse, in this and this is the confidence that we have in Him. In Him. Now, the problem with that Jewish man's prayer, it's not that all men, Jewish men have a problem with prayer. Some Jewish men, by the grace of God, have been called unto salvation. But most have not. And the problem with their prayer is, no matter how beautiful, no matter how eloquent the words, no matter how well they state the intent and the desire of that person, no matter how well they address the problem, they're not addressed to anybody that can do anything. They're not addressed to the God of all creation. And no prayer, unless it reaches the ear of God, does anything. You can take the strongest well pump in the world, unless you put it in a pool of water, you're not going to get anything out of it. The power is of God, and there is none other. There's no power in our prayer, and you and I need to tell people that. When they talk about the power of prayer, not that we want to bash people, but we want to make sure people know and understand. There's no power in prayer. The power's in the God that hears and answers prayer. And that's what John is saying here to us today. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Because He has the power. John says our confidence is in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. For we have no reason to hope or joy if He does not hear us. We have no reason to pray if He will not hear us. We have no reason to pray if we're not praying to God in heaven above. And those that do not know Him cannot pray to Him. my reference, if you've heard me explain this in times past, it's like dialing 912. You can dial 912 all day long and you'll never get any help because there's nobody there. You've got to dial the number of someone who's there and will hear and has the power to respond. This is the confidence that we have in Him. God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to call to your attention these verses from John chapter 15. I believe that John must have been thinking about these verses from the gospel that he wrote, from the teachings of Jesus Christ that he heard as he writes this in this letter. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Jesus speaking. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God in heaven, what a promise. How is it that a child of God can endure cancer or surgery or whatever is going on in his or her life and still have a joy about them and still praise God? Because of the promises of God. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I heard of a situation this week where somebody, I'm trying to remember the exact scenario, I believe it was the one up in Allegheny County. The man said, yes, we called the sheriff's office, and they weren't there in 20 minutes. A whole lot of people can die in 20 minutes. 20 minutes is a long time. The man said it as if it was something real short and quick, and out in the county areas where some of us live, that is pretty good. But God doesn't talk about 20 minutes. God says it will be done. Now, it will be done in His time, and we don't know what His timing is, but we do know this about His time. What time is it with God? Perfect. It's never anything till or anything after. It's always perfect. God is never a minute early or a minute late or a second early or a second late. He's always perfect. And that we know. So the deputies may get there late, but God's never late. No matter what His timing is, He will come when the timing is perfect, for He knows all things. And He has promised. But I also want to draw to your attention those words right before that phrase. Jesus said, if my words abide in you. Now, we talked about that last Sunday, and I want to remind you of that again. I hope you saw some change in your life this week, in your study of the Word of God, in your hunger for the Word of God, in your desire to know more of the Word of God, in your desire to know more of the will of God. Because God says you need to know, you must know. We must pray according to His will. Here Jesus says, my words abide in you. What's He talking about? You study the Word of God. The psalmist David said, thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know, my dad has a huge library, and I've got a pretty good start in the library. And often people come in and say, wow, there's a lot of books. Have you read all those? Nope. I can just tell you flat out, right off, no. Some of them I never bought to read. Some of them I bought for the purpose of a reference material. When I need an answer, I go and pull it out, and I'll go to that section, and I'll read a paragraph or a page or a chapter or whatever I need at that time for that purpose. God's Word can work as a reference material, but God's Word is not designed for reference material. It's designed to be devoured, to take it in and feast upon it and let every part of God's Word permeate from every pore of your being. Jesus said, my words abide in you. They live there. They come forth from there. This is the confidence that we have in Him because of His promise. Do you have confidence in Him? Do you have confidence in God? You might say yes. You might nod your head quickly. Forget all that. Look at the reactions in your life. What do you do when there's a problem? Do you go to Him? You go to Old Faithful. You go to the one you can trust. When there's a problem, when there's a situation, you do whatever's worked for you in the past before. Is your confidence in God? Do you seek to figure out something on your own first, or you call the tax preparer, or you call the lawyer, or you call the doctor first, or you call a psychiatrist, or you call anybody? And isn't it stupid? We say, we can't do anything else. We may as well pray. But we tried everything that might work, and this is stupid, but we're going to try praying now. Well, that tells me, and it ought to tell you where your confidence lies. If your confidence is in Him, that's who you run to. You get in a crowd of people. You see a little child that you don't know who they belong to. It's real easy to figure it out. Scare them, because they'll run right to who they belong to. They know who their confidence is in. You watch people. I have a sister-in-law that doesn't have any children. When the children are younger, she likes to take them up and love them up and do little things with them. But you watch when one of them gets hurt, boom, off her lap, and there they go to mama or daddy. Because they know who their confidence is in, and that's who they run to. So who do you run to? Who is your confidence in? Well, now, if you're a child of God, your confidence better be in God. And if you have a head knowledge and you say, yes, I believe that, and I know this promise, and I know God was going to do this, and I believe God's going to do that, well, then you better work at practicing it. If you believe it here, you better believe it here. Now, we as Christians don't just automatically do the things that God wants us to do. We have to work at it, don't we? Paul calls it a war. As the flesh wars against the soul. Well, that's one war we better be putting some effort into. That's one we better be spending some time and effort and energy upon, is who our confidence is in and who do we run to. John says, if we ask anything according to His will, anything according to His will. Ezekiel chapter 24, the words of God. God the Father, I the Lord have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. Is that questionable? Do you doubt that? When I read those words, I want to pound something. God's not playing games. I have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. Exclamation point, three of them. Bold and underlined, capitalized. Ezekiel later in chapter 36, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and I will do it. Do you take confidence in that? Oh, what a joy. God says, I will do it. Saw a commercial on TV last night. There's some sick and perverted people in this world. But you know what? It can be a joy to our hearts because God has said, I will do it. And He will pour wrath upon them. The iniquity in their minds, the decrepitness of their souls. When you see them, you just want to spit on the ground. God says, I will do it. Problem is, we draw the line in the wrong place. We want to draw the line way over there at those true perverts and weirdos. But it draws all the way back here, just as John has drawn it all through the Word. Those kind, sweet little people. He that hath the Son hath life. He not that hath not the Son hath death. And God said, I will do it. What hope, what joy for the children of God. It ought to scare to death those that know not God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I can't remember who it was. It may have been Kathy. They brought out an interesting point. Isn't it an amazing thing and probably a grace of God that they don't see and know and understand? Because how dreadful would it be to know of the impending wrath of God and not be able to call upon the name of the Lord? And to just go live your life. Wendy and I were talking about this last night, that verse of John Newton's song, Amazing Grace. 'Twas grace that caused my heart to fear. There's the ultimate grace of God, that you do fear God. And John Newton went on, and grace, my fears relieved. Because it's a two-step process, and God takes care of it all. He opens our eyes. He gives us ears that we may hear the truth, that we may see Him, that we may fear. And praise God, it's His grace that gives us that ability. And praise God, then He takes away our fear, because as John says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, again, chapter 14, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Have you ever needed to ask somebody to run an errand or do you a favor? You know, it's kind of out there, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do it for me or not. And man, I hope so. And then when you ask them to do it and you find out it goes right along with what they were going to do anyway and it's going to help them anyway, whew, man, that helps. It makes it so much easier. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is saying there. Jesus says, pick the verse up again, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why will He do it? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He wants to do it. He wants to do what His children ask, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. It's for glory for the Father. And that's what it's all about. And so He will do whatever we ask in His name according to His will for the glory of God. Now, we'll get into this point again in a few minutes. Doesn't mean He's going to answer everything that we ask. It must be according to His will. That is us following Him. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. He heareth us. Now, this verse ties back with verse 13. Verse 13, He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Who's John talking to? He that hath the Son hath life. He's talking to Christians. Stephen, we talked about this in Sunday school class this morning. We're talking about salvation. Those that have salvation, those that are the children of God, those that believe in Jesus Christ. And John says, I'm talking to those that believe on the Son of God. When we pray, He hears us. He hears us. Sometimes we fail to recognize the grace of God and praise Him for all He's worth. And some people argue about the doctrines of grace with you, and some people say they don't like those. And why would you look at that? And why do you care about that? And why do you study that? And why do you teach and preach that? Well, it's all for one purpose, because the greater we see the glory of God, the more we praise God. Paul said, I must, it wasn't Paul, I can't remember who right off, I must decrease and He must increase. And the more I see His increased beauty, the more I decrease. The more I see His glory, the more I see His grace, the more I see His power, the more I see His omniscience, the more I see all the attributes of God and all that He has done, the greater is my praise for Him. the greater is my faith in Him. When I see that Jesus didn't die for every soul upon the face of the earth, that some are going to hell. And I see that He died for me. That song we sing, I was kind of afraid Wendy was going to pick that one this morning. If Wendy had played "And Can It Be" during the offering, you ought to have had a solo, because I was singing. I was singing that on the way in the car this morning. I love that song. Can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me? Oh, that ought to drive us in the dust. We ought to fall on our faces and worship God. How awesome is that God who would die for us? But He didn't die for us. He died for me. It's a personal thing. Narrow is the gate, and few that be that enter in. We tend to picture heaven with big, great big broad gates and a bunch of people skipping down the road. I picture it as a turnstile, because you come through one-on-one and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't go in. A lot of people think they're going to hang on the coattails of mom and daddy and slip right on in. They're going to ride a church bus into the gates of heaven. Nope. One-on-one. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. The picture is the shepherd and the fold. And it's dark when the shepherd brings the sheep back to the fold. And here's this built-up wall of protection for them in the night. And as they're going in, you know what the shepherd does? He don't stand back and smoke a cigarette like the Marlboro Man. He puts his hands on every one. What's he doing? He's checking them for injuries, for problems. He grabs them by the head. He comes down the neck. He checks the legs for injuries and problems. Because if there's something wrong, it needs attention now. So that tomorrow morning when we head back out of the fold, they'll be able to go out and feed again. There's no crowd running in like we see in the Western movies with the cattle rushing into the pen. One, it's a small gate. The shepherd lays across the gate for protection. Nothing else is coming in this gate. But the shepherd lets them in one by one and checks them over. The children of God. He hears us. It better not make you proud. Chances are, if it makes you proud, He doesn't hear you. Because it doesn't make the children of God proud. It makes the children of God praise God and humbles them and causes them to bow before Him. I'm going to share a couple of verses with you. This pain in my side will go away. That we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. John chapter 9 and verse 31. Let me call your attention to the book of Psalms. The 99th Psalm is a psalm that says, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He heard and He answered. He hears us and He answers. God does not hear sinners. God does not hear the wicked. God hears His children. I was intrigued by this text, Psalm 106, verse 23. Therefore He said that He would destroy them, had not Moses, His chosen, stood before Him in the breach to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them. The picture is God getting ready to rain His wrath upon them, and Moses intervened in prayer. And had not have been Moses praying, It had been all she wrote. James chapter 5, James gives us an example of prayer and the child of God in prayer. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He said that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. What he's saying is there's nothing extraordinarily special about him. He's human, just like you and I. But he prayed to God. James gives indication there he's a righteous man. He prayed to God that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Psalm 34:15. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He doesn't hear the wicked, but he hears the children of God. God gives us an example in the book of Job. Remember, Job's friends came and they disputed with him about the situation that he's in, and they tried to claim it was some kind of sin or something, and they claimed to represent God and the truth of God, and they misspoke about the Word of God, and they misrepresented God. Remember I told you earlier, we better be careful when people say there's power in prayer. We better make sure we represent God correctly. Well, after the situation's over, they've misrepresented God. This is what God says. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams. He's talking to those friends of Job who claim to be godly. Take these 7 bullocks and the 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye had not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. You better go get somebody else to pray for you, because you got a problem. That's what he's telling them. Job, I will hear. Not going to hear you. Not going to hear you. Psalm 18:41, they cried, but there was none to save them, even the Lord, but he answered them not because of iniquity. The psalmist says in the 66th Psalm, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but God verily heard me. God addresses the attitude of those he hears. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, do you know who he's talking about? Who had days of his flesh? Jesus. He didn't always have flesh, but there were days he had flesh. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He was heard in that he feared. This is the attitude that we are to have in prayer. Not a proud, arrogant, snotty attitude, but an attitude of fear. Listen to this passage, Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. This is the attitude of a child of God. John Newton's song, 'Twas grace that caused my heart to fear. Now, he's not talking about her running around fear like that, but a reverent fear of God, knowing who God is. You see the problem with the world? They take God out of heaven and they put him over here somewhere, pretty close. You see, they can't reach into heaven, so they bring God down, me and the man upstairs. See, they move God to the apartment right above them. They've taken him out of heaven. They take God and put him on a shelf. They take God and put him right here for whenever they need him. He'll be right here close at hand. They don't have a reverent fear of God. They don't see the awesomeness of God. They see themselves getting along pretty good, me and my bud God. God forbid. The author to the Hebrews addresses well the fear of God. He continues in chapter 12 and verse 28, "Therefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." See, it's the grace of God that gives us the fear to serve Him correctly. The fear of God. Those that God hear fear God. And the reason God hears them is because they fear God. They are, as John said in verse 13, and we said earlier, they believe on the name of the Son of God. They have eternal life. They are Christians. They study the Word of God to know the will of God. They pray according to the will of God. They're walking according to the will of God. They seek the face of God in their prayers. John continues in verse 15, "If we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." We saw the promises of God that He's given to His children, that He will hear them. But does this mean something more? There's a difference of opinion between commentaries. Some say He's just repeating what He said before. Some say this means something different, and I believe it means something different. And I will show you and try to explain to you help you to see what I'm saying. He says, if we know that He hear us. Job chapter 22 and verse 27 says, "Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows." Do you see something missing there? The implication is that you've made a vow that if God will do this, I will do such and such. And He says, "Thou shalt make thy prayer to Him, He shall hear thee, and you'll pay your vows." Is there something missing? There's an implication there that's not spelled out. The implication is, God did it. You'll make your vow, you'll pray, God will hear it, and you'll pay your vow because God did it. It didn't even need to be said. God's going to do it. God has promised to do it, and God will. But you see, the words are implied there in the word, "hear thee." Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee. The Hebrew word, sama, a verb meaning to hear, to obey, to listen, to be heard of, to be regarded, to cause to hear, says Mr. Zodiates. It's more than just to hear, but it implies an action also. In Psalm 20 and verse 1, there's a different word in the Hebrew. A psalm of David, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." This is a prayer. You know, people say a blessing upon you. They're asking for two blessings here. One blessing is, the first blessing is that the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The second blessing is the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Well, what good is it? What kind of blessing is it if God hears you and nothing happens? I called 911, but then you couldn't hear anything I said. Didn't do you any good then, did it? But the blessing is that the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Hebrew word there is ana. It's used 331 times in the Old Testament. It has a variety of meanings or interpretations as used in the King James. In the Old Testament, the word answered 174 times, the word answer 60 times, and the word hear 30 times. It's a verb meaning to answer, to respond, to reply, or to testify. It refers to responding or answering a person. So what their hope is there, what the blessing is that they're asking for is the Lord hear thee and respond to thee in the day of trouble. Now I believe that's what John is using here in this text. That He hear us, the Greek word akou. Mr. Zodiati says of John here in this text, in the writings of John is spoken of God, meaning to heed, to regard, or to hear and answer prayer. So that what John is saying in verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us and responds or answers us. And if he hears, if we know that he hears us and responds or answers us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And we've seen the promise of God already. God says, I will hear and I will do. It's implied, isn't it? God says, I hear my children. We saw from the scripture that God does not hear the unrighteous, but God hears his children and answers. And he said, I will do it. Jesus said, whatever ye ask in my name, I will do it. Many times in the scripture, the word hear, he hears us, implies that he hears and does. He hears and responds. If we know that he hears us, and we do, if we believe that he hears us and we know he does hear us, he's told us that, and John has said that we are confident that he does, whatever we ask, what does that mean, everything? Does that mean anything and everything you ask? If you prayed right now for a fresh piece of bubble gum to pop into your mouth, is that going to happen? No, that's not what he's talking about. We've talked before about the will of God. Talk to you about asking a friend for a favor and how much easier it is and better it is if it's going along with what they're doing. Jesus seeks to glorify the Father. The Father seeks to glorify the Son. And he answers the prayer of his children and he takes care of his children for the glory of his Son. And Jesus does it for the glory of the Father. And bubble gum in your mouth does not glorify either one. Jesus' example to us, I believe in the Lord's Prayer, called the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray. I'm in a different verse. Luke chapter 22, as Jesus examples this. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. That must be our attitude in prayer. Not my will, but thine. Yes, I have a desire, and I have a will. And I hope and pray that what my will is what the will of the Father is. But Lord, just in case my will's not the same as yours, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Note the words of Paul regarding his prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. That's three times for those of you who don't speak Old King's English. That it might depart from me. Paul said, I prayed three times that this might go away. And he said unto me, who said unto me? Notice Paul didn't have to say he heard me and answered me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, some people get all wrapped up in today and think there's still a power of healing. And they think that the promise of God in his word is that he'll heal all sickness. Well, if God heals all sickness, and if you remember back, Paul did have the power to heal. You look back through the New Testament, Paul had the power of God. God witnessed that Paul was a true child of his and a true servant of his in the miracles that Paul did. But Paul's got a physical ailment and he can't heal it. And he's prayed to God three times and God won't heal it. So if God has promised to heal all sickness, God's changed his mind or God's come up short on the healings, maybe he's out of stock. You think that's what it was? The warehouse is empty. Didn't have any more healings, any more miracles to send. No, that's not the promise that God has made. As a matter of fact, God tells him here that there's glory for God in the suffering of the child, in the sickness of the child. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Glory in my infirmities? Praise the Lord, I'm sick. James says, joy in tribulations. Now, we want a joy after the tribulation. He says, joy in them. Joy because of them. Praise God, he gave me this. Now, be careful. They will lock you up for this in a rubber room somewhere. But that's all right. That's faith in God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe God has power? Do you believe that God hears your prayer? Do you believe that God answers your prayer? Do you have faith that God could take it away from you if he desired to and if it's his will? Then obviously it's not. It's his will that you have it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Job said, shall I praise the Lord for good and not for evil? You think God gives you half of it? He's on vacation the other half? He doesn't know what's going on when you're getting evil? Shame on you, you got a little God. God of all creation knows all things and controls all things. So John is not talking about God's going to answer whatever you ask. But whatever we ask, as he's already said, according to the will, his will. But what John is saying is every prayer. It's not like God said, oh, you've reached your quota for this month. I've already heard 20 prayers from you, that's it. Most of us think there's about a 30 prayer month quota, don't we? Because that's about all we pray is 30 times a month. No, God doesn't say there's a quota. You've reached your number. I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm gonna screen your calls. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to let you put yours on an answering machine. Moshe and I have a running joke about that. God doesn't screen your calls. He hears whatever we ask as the children of God. And he answers according to his will. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we know, we know. If you know one thing, then you obviously know this. You may not realize that you knew this, but you should have. If we know that he hears us, and we know that he hears us, he has promised to hear us. He has proven himself faithful. Has he not heard you before? Has he not given you proof in his word as he hears the prayers of his children and he answers? So if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask for. We know. It's a done deal. Have you ever had to call 911? Did you ever call 911 and then you hang up and you call back and say, did y'all really get my call? Are you really going to do that? No, you expect the call and expect it to happen. But now those are human beings and they are fallible and they do fail. But God doesn't. We know that if he hears us, and we know he does, then we know we have the petition. Done. Finished. Move on. John is talking here about our faith that God will hear us and answer us. Isaiah 58, verse 9, we read, then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Do you believe him? Do you doubt God in your prayers? A lot of people wrap themselves up in a false piety. Well, I'm not really sure of anything. I like to be humble and doubt a lot. Well, you can doubt yourself. Probably ought to. But most times they're doubting God. For God says, if you're my child and you ask according to my will, I will hear you. And I will answer you. And Jesus said, I will do it. So your stupid, humble, little pious attitude may be nothing short of doubting God. If we know He hears us, we know we have the answer, don't we? Does your faith in God go that far? I hope it does. What joy can there be in a God who doesn't hear your prayer or doesn't answer your prayer? Just thought of something else. If we have the joy, like John says, we know He hears and we know we have the answer, and it's such a sure thing, why in the world don't you pray more? Why in the world don't I pray more? We're quickly out of time. We better rush. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Past tense. Past tense. Now, this is kind of hard for us to understand, and some commentators say, well, you know, you can't say that you've received the answer to that prayer already because it hasn't gotten here yet. You may be praying for something that, because of God's will, it can't happen until then, till 20 years from now. You may pray about salvation. Well, you know you don't have completed salvation until you die in glorification. Everybody you pray for, you want them to die so they go right to heaven? But you see, I think in that we miss the point. Look back to a army movie, perhaps, that you've seen. And the guys are out here on the field of battle, and there's a problem with some enemy out before them. And so they call and they say, fire the missiles to take care of that enemy over there. And the guy says, it's done. Well, the enemy are still right there. They're still there. They're still there. They're still there. Boom. Well, when the guy said it was done, he pushed the button and the rocket was on its way. But it's going to be delivered in its time. You see, I believe what John's talking about is when we ask God, it's done. We may not see the results of it yet, but it's done. Let me bring to your mind some scripture for you to meditate upon. I'm trying to cut a little bit out here for time's sake. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. If we take what John is saying, you ask for it, you've got it, it's finished, it's done. Move on. But it hasn't happened yet. Well, then maybe God didn't hear me. Maybe He didn't answer. Let me go back and ask again. Well, maybe He didn't hear me. Let me go back and ask again. James chapter 1. As he shows the same thing in a different way, but he addresses the way we ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God has promised, as my child, you ask according to my will, I will hear you and I will answer you. Okay? Pray in faith. Wait a minute, I'm not sure that worked. Let me go back and do it again. Let me get a redo. Let me get an undo. James says that man is unstable in all his ways. You see, what you're doing is doubting God. Now, can we pray for that situation? Can we pray again for the same thing? Am I saying that you can't pray the same thing twice? No. No. You can continue to pray the will of God, but we better ask ourselves, why am I continually praying? Do I think, no, God has not heard me? Do I think God's not paying attention? God didn't answer. The timing wasn't right. I didn't get it in the right order. You know, I didn't do hopscotch just like I was supposed to. Let me go back and hopscotch my prayer again. What are you doubting? Who are you doubting? Do we pray in faith? I believe that what John is saying here in verse 15, we have the petitions that we desired of him. We had a petition, we desired it, we prayed it, we now have it. And I think Jesus gives us an example and says basically the same thing in an example as he taught us to pray. Did he say, give us this day some daily bread? He said, give us this day our daily bread. Because we asked for it, it's ours, and we have it. Done deal. Because we're dealing with God. At work, they say, whatever you want to make sure gets done, you have to follow through on. Follow up. You tell them to do it, you explain it, you go away and you come back and make sure they did it. You go away and come back and make sure they did it again. Okay? Because you got to make sure that they did it. You know why? Because people are not faithful like God. People forget. People get wrapped up in other things. Sometimes they just don't want to do it. Whatever the reason, it doesn't get done. But God is not a human being that he might fail. God is faithful. He has promised, I will do it. He said, ask. Did you ask? Ask in faith, as James says, nothing wavering. There's a definite teaching from the Scripture about asking and expecting. Not in arrogance, but expecting because God said so. If you ask and don't expect, did you have faith to start with? Something's wrong. Why are our prayers so weak? Why are we so anemic? James said, if you ask without faith, you're wavering. And let not that man expect anything. If you didn't believe it, why'd you expect God to believe it? Jesus said if we had faith as a mustard seed, we could move a mountain. If you've got faith in God, if you ask with faith in God, expecting Him to do, will He not do? But how often are we asking and we really didn't believe it? I picture us sometimes as our prayers, instead of sending a prayer straight to God. Okay, that one's done. That one's done, straight to God. We kind of got a basket of prayers and we're just throwing them up in the air. Man, I hope some of them get there. I hope he gets at least one of them. How do you pray? Oh, ye of little faith. How often does that speak to us? If we had more faith and we believed in the power of prayer for what it was, what it is, the power of God, wouldn't we be digging in the Word of God for the promises and to know the will of God and hiding it in our hearts? Wouldn't we be praying? If we weren't digging for promises, we'd be praying them, wouldn't we? Little House on the Prairie was on TV this morning when I left and cut it off. They were digging for gold. And you watch those old guys and they'd work until they found a piece of gold. They found a trinket. And all of a sudden, there's a new spark, there's a new fire, there's a new energy. Oh, man, it's there. I just got it. And many times they kill themselves digging for that gold, leave it to somebody else. Well, you know, if we found the promises of God and realized what they were, wouldn't we be digging for more promises from God? Wouldn't we be lifting them up into prayer? In prayer? Wouldn't we be asking in faith, nothing wavering? What part of the equation are you doubting? We're so weak in our prayer. It's because we're weak in the Word of God, and we're weak in our faith. And because our prayers are weak, and because our knowledge of the Word of God is weak, and because our faith in God is weak. Well, I'm just tossing prayers, hoping something will happen. To sit down and pray for God to stop the rain, and it stops for 3.5 years, and then to have the audacity to think you could sit down and pray for it to rain after a 3.5 year drought, and it's going to do it. That takes some faith. Do we have that kind of faith? He's trusting in God. Are we? Told you before, you can know who you have confidence in by your reactions in times of problem. You can tell how your faith is in the promises of God by how you pray. Do you desire to pray? Again, go back to the same situation. When there's a problem, is prayer the last thing on your list? I've done the whole list. Let me turn the page over. Oh, yeah, there's still prayer. Matter of fact, you know what your list ought to look like? Just turn the page over and there's nothing on there but prayer. You ever thought of that one? If God be for us, who can be against? And if I have faith in God to hear and answer my prayers, why do I need anything else? Though the world be gathered against me, I've got God. All I got to do is pray and it's done. Oh, we of little faith. Let me say it that way because I can't stand pointing a finger at you guys. I got to point them at myself too. Oh, we of little faith. Oh, that we might be a people of prayer. That we might study the Word of God and know the promises of God and have the faith in God to give ourselves to prayer. Oh, if we would realize the power of God in heaven above that He's waiting to unleash for the glory of Himself upon His children. He desires to. He created us for His glory. And we're off playing. We have some serious business to be about. We have lost souls among us. We have lost souls in our families. We have lost souls among our friends. We have a lost nation that we live in. We have a great and glorious God who deserves glory. And we better become a people of prayer according to the Word of God. I don't know how much you meditated upon a message from last week. God's Word. I hope you will. Go back. Read over the Scripture. Pray about it. God, recall to my mind your truths. Lord, impress this upon me. Lord, change me by your Word. Lord, make a difference in me today. That we might be what God desires for us to be. What God saved us to be. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, we of little faith. Let us pray. Our dear God and Father, we thank you for your truth through your servant John. We pray, O God, for your Holy Spirit to anoint these truths, and Lord, protect them in our hearts. Let them not be stolen away. Let us not be frivolous with your truth. But, O God, impress it upon us. O Lord, as we look at ourselves, can we be prayer warriors? O God, how foolish and feeble we have been. How people of such little faith we have been. O God, change us by your truth. Draw us by your Spirit to be what you would have us to be. We thank you, O God, and we praise you that you have saved us. And, O God, that you hear our prayers. We rejoice in your great and glorious being. We pray for those, O God, who are not your children, who do not trust in Jesus Christ, whose prayers are not heard because they do not know you. O Lord, may you move upon those hearts this day. Let not this word be stolen from them, but break them. Bring them to repentance before you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.